Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and welcome to another 1 hour action-packed thriller of a show, the Extra Points Radio Show. Good show today because there's plenty to talk about as always. And, you know, think about it. You're after the 4th of July, you're before, you're after Wimbledon, you're kind of British Open-y time, and you're not quite in camp, but the Ravens are in camp, and they got Lamar Jackson really continuing to shine after day one or two of Ravens training camp. This guy's the talk of the town. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, but we're going to, of course, get our pay attention topic. Then after our pay attention topic, I'm going to go through and just kind of, from an NFL perspective, kind of talk to you about people who are already on the hot seat, right? So there are people right now who know they have to win a certain amount of games, they have to beat certain opponents, they have to get to the playoffs, they have to do whatever it is they have to do, and they're counting on their, I'm talking about coaches, and they're counting on certain players to help them to get that done. If that player doesn't get it done, that coach won't get it done, and they'll find themselves fired, and NFL not for long. So we'll do that kind of mid-show, and then in the second half of the show, Fit with Joy, Joy Henry's going to join us. Her segment's all about the ESPYs, and she has the unenviable task of really twisting my arms that, yeah, I know sports and entertainment collide. I get it, right? I get it. But, you know, I don't know. I watch the ESPYs. I just don't get it. So she's got the unenviable task of getting me to get it, and she'll get 20 minutes to do that. So we're looking forward to all things that on that part of the show. But first, of course, we want to get to our pay attention talk. We've got plenty to talk about. So the first thing out the gate is the Open, and it's the Clara Jug, and it's over in Scotland. And I'm just going to say it, and then I'm going to leave it alone. Tiger's in it. And he's in the hunt. Now, if you're a regular and you listen to this show every week, you listen to the Extra Points Radio Show every week, 10 a.m., Blog Talk Radio, you know that I'm a Tiger junkie, and I always figure out a way to get him into the show. So this time, I'm just going to mention, for those of you that don't know, Tiger Woods is in the hunt at the Open. I'm just going to leave it at that. Not going to say he's going to win. Not going to say he's going to lose. Well, you got to listen to the whole show because I am going to make a prediction about the Open and Tiger Woods. Just got to listen to the whole thing. So that's one pay attention topic. Next one. If you were in D.C. Monday night, you may have been sitting in a little extra traffic. And that's because you saw history in the making. Bryce Harper, home run derby champion. Now, what I thought was big was I didn't think he'd beat Freddie Freeman from the Braves, first baseman for the Atlanta Braves, in the first round of the Derby. But he did, and he beat him relatively easily. He goes on to the second round, wins that a little tougher, but he wins it. Third round, kind of easy. He gets to the championship, and it was just epic. I mean, in 55 seconds, I think he hit like 11 home runs in 55 seconds. His dad was pitching to him. There was some controversy around the dad maybe speeding up the pitches, this, that, and the other. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of nitpicky to me. I think it's a great story. Watching Bryce, beat Bryce Harper, which is an emotional guy. He goes 100%. He's going to run through a wall for you. Getting the feeding off of that Nats crowd, and it was a heavy Nats crowd, although I saw a lot of Yankee jerseys, Mets jerseys, Philly jerseys, of course, that they could take the drive down to D.C. But it was really, really a historic. D.C. was loud. You know, I saw somewhere the Nats Park actually shook like old RFK did. I don't know about that. I don't think anything ever shook like old RFK. But I thought it was pretty cool to see Bryce Harper and his dad out there and making that historic moment like that. It was really, really a cool story. And, now let's hope that catapults them to bigger and better things. I don't know about that. We'll have to see. I know last night Bryce had a pretty decent ball game, but they lost the game. So, we'll see. We'll see how that one goes. Pay attention to topic number 3. So, for those of you who are professional wrestling fans, if you have Mount Rushmore for professional wrestlers, Ric Flair should be on there, probably at the top. But if not at the top or a close second, is Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan this week was reinstated to the WWE, that's the World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Fame. They had a pay-per-view Sunday night, which was not very good, by the way, Vince. Just FYI, it wasn't very good. But they had a pay-per-view in Pittsburgh. Hogan was there. He gathered all the talent together, and he actually apologized. Hogan had made some racist comments a few years back, and they were recorded without his knowledge. And so Hogan decided to apologize. One of the wrestlers, Mark Henry, who is a black man, he's a former Olympian, kind of forgave him and said, hey, we forgive you, man, let's move on type of thing. But some younger guys, guys called the New Day, and these are three guys that one's like the strong man, one's like the agility man, and one is like the brains behind the operation. Well, this guy, these guys kind of got together and said, we're not really feeling this whole reinstatement. While we think he should be in the Hall of Fame, I'm not sure if we're really feeling. Okay, well, I went to Twitter, and I looked at Kofi Kingston, who was the author of this tweet, saying that the New Day was indifferent. And first of all, they put laugh out loud in their statement. So right there, I could only take it but so seriously because they put LOL, which means laugh out loud. So if you're really trying to make a social statement, to me, you aren't using text message acronyms as a way to get your point across. Now, the next thing they did that really was a turnoff for me was they signed it New Day, which isn't their real name. It's a collective slogan name that's given to them by the WWE to recognize their group. It's not their real name. So the fact that they weren't using their real name, the fact that they put laugh out loud in their statement really turned me off. But here's what turned me off the most. They ended the statement with a quote that said, "Never trade your authenticity for approval." Well, isn't that what they do every day? Isn't that what they're actors? They're professional actors. They're taking their selves, their real selves, and slapping a character on themselves, but yet they're saying, never trade your authenticity for approval, talking about Hulk Hogan. Now, here's what's crazy about the story is 41,000 people like this on Twitter. These are professional wrestlers talking about social issues, serious topics like racism, and 41,000 people like it. Man, these guys got some power. They really do. So that was a little bit of a turnoff to me. I mean, I don't I don't particularly care for Hulk Hogan's character. I definitely don't care for those that speak negatively of any race. But for another character to come out and kind of poke fun at it, I think really diminished and demeaned race in our country today. So New Day, if you're listening, know that there's one person who that did not agree with what you said. All right, so here's our pay attention topic. I think it's a good one. Speaking of dust up, I got a dust up I want to talk about. Pay attention topic comes from just last night. And you want to talk about worlds colliding? I'm going to give you worlds colliding. So here's the Nets. They're in a dogfight. They're 5.5 games out of first place. Right? 5.5 games out. They got Steven Strasburg coming back to pitch for them. Now, he gave up 6 runs. He's been out for 6 weeks. 6 weeks this guy's been on the disabled list. I don't even know what the injury is. He stays in. He gave up 6 runs and 4 2/3 innings. So, you know, manager goes out, takes the ball from him, tells him, hey, we're going to replace you with another pitcher for tonight's game. So he walks off. He jogs off. He does a good thing. He jogs off. He gets in the dugout. One of the coaches taps him on the back. Max Scherzer, who's right now arguably the Nationals MVP, you know, gives him a little tap on the back, you know, hey, good job, whatever. I don't know what he said. But give him a little tap on the back. I look at it as encouragement. And then another coach, unbeknownst to Strasburg, walked by and gave him another little pat on the back. Well, it was at that moment that Strasburg said something. He sat down on the bench. He said something. I don't know what he said, but Max Scherzer kind of ignored it. And then he goes, whoa, wait, you talking to me kind of thing. Because Scherzer's pointing to himself, and Scherzer gets in his face. And so, of course, Strasburg, quite honestly, like a little kid, he looked very childish, storms off to his room, and they go down in the clubhouse, and I guess they had it out. Now, what's the fallout? The fallout is this manager, who Bryce Harper says he would love to play for the next 10 to 12 years. I did not agree. You heard it here on the Extra Points Radio Show. The Nationals should not have gotten rid of Dusty Baker. They should not have hired Dave Martinez. I know he's a good man and he's a good coach. I didn't think he was ready to be a manager of a team, especially a veteran team. Now, you always hear me kind of talking about young players and how you got to wait for them to mature and help them to mature and this and the other. But there's something to be said about veteran teams, too. And veteran teams have to be coached by certain people. And I just don't think Dave Martinez is that guy. And here's why. So Martinez calls both pitchers in right after the game, but before the press conference. So the press guys are all waiting. They waited an extra 15 minutes. So he comes out. Scherzer's nowhere to be found. So clearly, Scherzer took his clothes off, his uniform off, which, by the way, why do baseball players dress up, managers dress up the way they pull? That's a different story. Anyway. So Scherzer goes, he leaves, and Strauss makes one comment, which is, if you're not in the family, then I don't need to talk to you about what we said. And the reporter goes, well, what did you say? And then Strasburg goes, well, you're not in the family. All right, I get that, right? They want to keep it in-house. That's the old New England Patriot way. Close the door, and what's said behind these doors never comes out. All right, and that's actually, John Thompson was the first one to do that. Former head basketball coach of Georgetown Hoyas, he just basically put up a wall you couldn't get in, right? I don't believe in that. I believe you got to be transparent as a coach. But anyway, so now here we go with this guy Martinez saying all the right things. We're good, not going to lose any sleep over it, all is well, this and that. Well, guess what, Martinez? All is not well. You're 6.5 games out of first place. The Phillies won last night. You lost to Atlanta at home, right? And you play again today, and you better win. Here's the deeper problem. This is why this show is so good, and it's the business of sports. Max Scherzer signed a 7-year, $210 million contract. Steven Strasburg's contract, also 7 years, $175 million. Max Scherzer, Cy Young Award winner last year. Steven Strasburg, third in the Cy Young Award winner. This year, Scherzer, 12 wins, 5 losses. He's the starting pitcher in the All-Star game. Strasburg, 6 wins, 7 losses on the disabled list during the All-Star game. Max Scherzer, team captain, called the players-only meeting. Now, they're only 6-6 since that meeting, but he's the guy that did. There's a deeper problem here, people. I watched it last night, and I saw with my own eyes, there's a locker room, there's a deeper problem here. And it can't be solved by the veterans like Zimmerman and guys like that. It can't. This problem starts at the head. And that's usually where problems start anyway. Go to any business. You look at the leader, right? You got a guy sold all kinds of pizzas, and now we find out he's a bad guy. They don't sell many pizzas anymore because he was a bad guy. So I'm telling you right now, the Nets are in huge trouble because not only will they not make the playoffs, but now they're stuck with this manager. And they're going to have to do something with Strauss and Scherzer, and they can't because they both have 7-year deals worth millions. So if you think for 1 minute that the difference between $210 million and $175 million, that the difference between first place and third place is the Cy Young, the difference between 12 wins and 6 wins doesn't hurt an ego, which permeates throughout a team, you're crazy. It does. So, Nets, you got to get together. You might want to call Coach Howard to come in and fix your problem, because I would fix it. Because here's what I would do. I would let Strauss know, I'm going to bench you for your next start. Matter of fact, you're going to go down to AAA, and you'll pitch there, and then you can come back. You got nothing to lose. You're 6 games back. All right. So that's that. You can see I was really fired up about that. So, hey, look, speaking of fired up, there are guys that are already on the hot seat in the National Football League, not for long. I want to talk to you about that. And then in the second half of the show, like I said, worlds do collide, sports and entertainment. Maybe I'm just not getting, well, Fit with Joy's got the tough task of getting me to get it. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Status, great. gave this set? If not, I don't know. This is one of the most dysfunctional rosters I've seen in the league as I look through the preseason rosters. I don't think Adam Gase is going to make it. I got to tell you, I don't think he's going to make it. Let me say in the AFC East, Todd Bowles. Todd, you're on the hot seat, dude. You are. I mean, you're in New York, New York media. The Giants improved their roster. But here's why you're on the hot seat. Because you're counting on Josh Tears of a McCown. Josh McCown is a journeyman quarterback. Sure, he had a good year for you. But you've got Teddy Bridgewater and you've got Sam Darnold drafted. Both. If you don't handle this properly, you will not make it through the season. Your seat is so hot right now, you've got to figure this quarterback thing out. My advice to you, get Teddy Bridgewater a lot of reps in preseason, pull the trigger on Josh McCown quickly, and make sure that Sam Darnold doesn't get in there too soon, and that it's dead fails. AFC North, my guy, John Harbaugh. John, you're in big trouble, man. You're in trouble, know why? Because Ozzy went out and took a legacy pick on Lamar Jackson, and Lamar is cooking it up. And you're going to stay with Joe Flacco. John, I'm going to see you in early August. I'm going to whisper in your ear, don't stay with Flacco too long. Don't stay with Flacco too long. It'll get you fired. If you got to put RG3 in there for 2 weeks, he'll get hurt. Don't worry about that. Then get Lamar Jackson there. By week, I would say 9, maybe Lamar Jackson started. John, keep your job, man. Don't get fired over this stuff. AFC North, let's stay in there. Hugh Jackson, you're 0-16 and didn't get fired. Should have been fired. Didn't get fired. Roster's improved. I think you'll make it, Hugh. I think you'll make it. AFC South, you know who's going to get fired? Not the coach. Blake Bortles signed a 3-year, $54 million contract. Here's the business of sports. What many of you don't know is Blake got 44 of it up front. There's only 10 left. If he doesn't have a good season this year and take them back to the AFC Championship, why would they give him any more money? Why would they keep him for 2 more years? I'd swallow it. For $10 million, no big deal. Out of here. AFC West, Vance Joseph, look, I root for coaches, and I root for the brothers that are coaching. We're a small fraternity, very small. But you were 5-11, and you lost 8 straight games. And old Horsehead, John Elway, ain't having it. Dude, you got to win in the worst way. You got to win, and you got to win quickly. Like, you can't be 1-4. If you're 1-4, you're not going to make it through the season. That's 2 guys, by the way, both brothers, who I said will not make it through the year. Todd Bowles, Vance Joseph. Let's flip over to the NFC. NFC West. Sam Bradford, I don't know how you have made so much money and been so often in and not really won anything. I don't think you make it through the season. Know why? Because Arizona drafted Josh Rosen for a reason. And Josh Rosen is going to save that franchise. They got a new coach. New coaches don't really like veteran quarterbacks. They like the young drafted guy. Just throw him in it. Josh Rosen is going to lead this team. I don't think they go to playoffs, but Josh Rosen will be a quarterback. Sam Bradford won't make it. Let's go to the NFC East. So I'm going to spend some time on this. Jason Garrett. The last 3 years, Jason, you've been 8-8. Do you know who your boss is? I'm just checking. Do you know who your boss is? Jerry Jones. You know who the president of the Cowboys is? Stephen Jones, Jerry's son. Jerry's kind of, he's got his yellow jacket now. He's kind of stepping back ever slow, so slightly. Jason, you're his coach. You're not Steven's coach. 8-8 ain't going to make it. When you got Dak, you got Ezekiel, and you got guys back on that defense who were either injured, out for drugs, whatever the reason. The whole defense is back. 8-8 won't do it. So, Jason, in order to keep your job, I think you got to make the playoffs, which you won't at 8-8. I said Jason Garrett doesn't make it, but he makes it through the year. He does make it through the year. Let me slide down to the Giants. Eli. It's a new coach, Shermer. They're calling him an offensive guru. You got Beckham, arguably the most talented receiver in the league. I don't agree with that, but arguably. You got Saquon Barkley, who I think is going to be a real threat, third down kind of guy. He's already penciled in to be the starter. There's no excuse, Eli. None. There's none. It's on you. And they got two young guns at quarterback who could help them. So, Eli, I think you make it through the year. I think the Giants improve. But I don't think you make it enough that they keep you around. Just don't. Two more. NFC East. Bruce Allen, you brought Jay Gruden here. You picked most of the players quiet as cat. People think, oh, Doug Williams is picking the players. Oh, no, this one's picking the players. Now, it's really Bruce Allen because Bruce Allen manages the money. He runs the football operation. He picks what color pants they wear. Yellow, burgundy, white. They don't go all white enough for me. They should do that. But I think the owner's tired of you, Bruce. I do. They've got one 10-win season in your tenure here. One. Most executives would have been fired. Your name's Allen. So I know your brother was the governor of Virginia. And I know your dad is a Hall of Fame coach of the Redskins. I get it. But, Bruce, it's time. I think it's time. And one of the reasons it's time is you didn't pull the trigger quick enough on Jay Gruden, who, by the way, is the last person I want to talk about. You've heard on this show, and for those that knew me before this show, the day they picked this guy, I said, that's the wrong pick. He doesn't command a team. There's no presence. Either good offensive coordinator at best. I don't even think he's that good an offensive coordinator. He's a great Arena Football League quarterback. That's what he is. And hasn't won anything. You extended his contract. I think he's gone. Not only this, there is a chance. I think it's an ever so slim chance that he doesn't make it through the year. But I think he does make it through the season. He's fired on Black Monday. You heard it here first on the Extra Points Radio Show. And there are people that are just loving life, thinking the Redskins got all this talent and this and that. I bumped into a guy the other day who wanted to bet me that they would win 4 games in the first time. I begged him. Why don't you go look at the schedule first? I don't really want to take your money. But he didn't look at the schedule. Then he went back and looked at it. He turned on another sports show, and they went through the schedule, and he goes, man, you know what, I think you're right. This team's going to be terrible. I would be very surprised if they're good. I hope I'm wrong. I do. But if there's anybody whose foot is on the fire, it's Jay Gruden. He's in big, big trouble. And I don't know. That's all I can say on that. So, hey, listen, I'm going to take another quick break. Now that you know who's on fire in the NFL, I'm going to cool it off by getting some water. And when I get back, I'm going to talk about World Collider, the sports world, hockey, football, basketball, baseball, you know, all of the four majors and, of course, a few of the minors, and how they collide for one night on ESPN with an award show called the ESPYs. And the ESPYs is really popular because back in the day, you know, Jim Valvano and the V Foundation gave this amazing speech. tens of millions of people have heard this speech. Don't give up. Never give up. Right? You've heard it. And then a few years later, Stuart Scott, he was, you know, really dying of cancer, and he gave an amazing speech, Tears in Your Eyes. This year, it was Jim Kelly. And oh, what a speech it was. It was a great speech. And it's really a fundraiser, but it is time for ESPN to kind of collide with the entertainment world. So, Fit with Joy, Joy Henry's going to come in, and she has a tough job because she has to kind of get me to get it, right? I don't know anyone who watched the ESPYs, cares about the ESPYs, even really knows what it is. So she's got a really, really tough job. But we're gonna bring her in just a moment here. Let me take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio.
Why I need that Olympic theme going, just to segue right into it, in the World Cup. And so pretty much every year, this is the 26th one that they've had. They have a host now with Stanica. She's the first female. So that just continues to make it more epic of a host, in that every year they have different award categories for those who showed out in their particular realm and their athleticism. And so it just gives the opportunity for all the sports world to collide, and in a sense, in entertainment, because it's hosted in Los Angeles.
So the first thing, a couple things leaped out of what you said in your opening statement, which is Danica Patrick, first woman to host the show. That, I mean, that, I'm glad to hear that, but it took too long on that. But I didn't know it was in L.A.
Well, yeah, I mean, ESPN has done this every year and had it in that particular venue. And as I said, sports and entertainment collide in so many different ways that it particularly transcends life. And they've been revving up this campaign with their commercials, as you see the different particular ways that they display it. For instance, a great one I see is where Kevin Durant is looking up at the rafters and seeing the championship come down the banner. And it says that life gives you resumes, sports gives you rafters, in a sense. And it's just pretty much awesome and iconic the way that they allow people to feel as if they're a part of it. And even going so far back as the office setting, where they'll have a mascot. I remember the Oregon Duck being there looking out the window as a regular duck got to swim around, and he's punching and crunching stuff on the keyboard. So it's just awesome how ESPN allows it to be a part of the entertainment realm and transcend and allows the regular person to come a part of it.
So now set it up for me. Is it just ESPN? Is this kind of like a best of Sports Center kind of moment? They're showing a bunch of highlights, or is this like, you know, the nominee is, and you go up and get the award, give a big speech, or how does that kind of work?
Great point. It is, in a sense, I feel like an ultimate highlight reel for ESPN's work throughout the year, where they have most of the sports live broadcasts of the most epic things. I mean, of course, you got NBC Washington here in the district. You have NBC in general. Right now they're playing the Open, the British Open for golf. So there are different channels that every year there's a different channel that'll have the Super Bowl on. So in a sense, ESPN tries to be that authority for all things sports, but also tries to mesh the entertainment aspect. And one thing I particularly thought that, and I wonder what their take on it is, where they didn't have any wrestling or MMA or any kind of category for that realm to pretty much display who was the best in their element.
Well, I can take a stab at that one. I got to believe, first of all, they are known as the worldwide leader in sports. And they do talk about MMA, and when there's a big blockbuster wrestling story, they talk about, I don't believe, and I don't work for ESPN, I don't even have this stock, but I don't believe they recognize those sports as legitimate sports. I don't think ESPN sometimes pokes fun at some of the minor league sports and doesn't really, you know, outside of the big four and then maybe an Olympic, I don't think they really take it seriously. But I think you may be onto something, too, that Disney owns, right? So Disney, you can't find a more family-friendly company than Disney. Maybe those sports are too violent. I don't know, but just my knee-jerk reaction would be that. Let me ask you this question. Give me an example in the show. Like I said, I was watching it, but I just wasn't getting it, of where the two worlds actually collide.
Well, and essentially, I like how you were able to talk about the worldwide world of sports, in a sense, if I'm saying that correctly. Sorry, Disney, please forgive me.
Yeah, the worldwide leader in sports.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister for some sorts, but pretty much in the sense that sports and entertainment collide, you have the ability for an actual sports athlete. Last year we had Peyton Manning as the host, and they continue to thrash him about his dad jokes. Well, now you have Danica Patrick, and she's the first female, again, and I must reiterate that because that's epic in a sense. And if you want to think about going outside of sports, but it's been tough for women in general to be a part of the first because there's so many different barriers that work. Comedians don't get the same amount of money as their counterparts. And so for her to be able to do that on this stage was very important. And she had the support of her boyfriend. He finally allowed that to be known that there are a couple earlier this year in January, and that's Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers, the quarterback, that is. And so you have these two different sports. She just retired from NASCAR and being that first real woman in that sport realm again to transcend, to be groundbreaking. And then you want to talk about colliding in sports and entertainment and couples and that whole entire realm in Los Angeles and Hollywood. And, I mean, you got LeBron coming there. You just got Manny Machado. I mean, they're places where just stars are literally on the sidewalk. They're engraved in stone. And I particularly, my favorite part, and I was making it a little bit cheesy because she did do some silly jokes, right, to keep the show going. And that being, she talked about Tanya, you know, Tanya Harding. And I, as I sat there and watched it, didn't think it was that funny after a while because of the severity and how much it meant. It was a crime. But to try to make that into a joke and give some lightheartedness to it, it's a different sport, a different, I guess, athlete in a sense is portraying it and trying to make light of it. And that's kind of like what sports does for people. You got politics, you got a tough economy, you got things going on in the world. So the different ways that it collides is that it gets into the personal heart of people and allows them to have fun and to lighten up.
Right, and that's exactly where I was going. My next comment is, it sounds like it gives an opportunity to, you know, maybe for the athlete to kind of be vulnerable a little bit, you know, laugh a little bit because they're always, you know, stone-faced and this and that. And then you mentioned a couple of things. And again, now, only in entertainment does anyone even care. I mean, I'm sure the people that are listening right now in our audience are like, I don't care about Ciara and Russell Wilson. But I got to tell you now that I think about it, you know, Russell Wilson plays really well. I mean, he's arguably a Pro Bowl quarterback. Russell Wilson's real happy at home. So, let's not sugarcoat it. He gets to watch Ciara dance. Did you see her video? I mean, her video is off the charts. So I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, you know what? Yeah, this is fun. This is fun. I kind of get it. They wear crazy stuff. Your guy, your boy, Odell Beckham, has on this. I don't know what that was that he had on. So it gives them kind of a chance to dress up and be playful and this and that. But let me ask you this question. As a diehard sportsman, I mean diehard, I know you are, you love your team. Are you just kind of taking a break from being a diehard sportsman? Or are you really like, yeah, I'm really interested in, you know, who so-and-so's dating and what they're wearing? Like they were asking on the red carpet, which they did have a red carpet pre-show, who are you wearing? Like this isn't sports, right? Or am I still not getting it?
It is very important that I point out that particular laced with so many different subtleties that you just mentioned in your particular pitch. It is important what you're wearing. Remember, the great Deion Sanders said, you look good, you feel good. And it is a privilege to be an athlete, to make all that money. It is a lot of pressure to perform in and out every night to do the best. I mean, you've seen that in Strasburg, okay? He's got all this money. He's got to go up against Scherzer. You got to put up or shut up. And so it's a lot of pressure. So on one hand, as a regular people who work 9 to 5, remember Charles Barkley said it last week or so, playing the celebrity golf game, that people make fun of him because he comes in last, but they're working. So, yeah, in a way, it's a little bit bitter, right, that you look at this guy, he's making all this money to play a game, and then we don't feel bad for them when they don't do it well. Like, oh, well, they're making all this money, but they're still human beings. So it ties into that heart of things. And so when you talk about what they're wearing, they need to feel good. They need to perform well, and that's what Deion Sanders says. But even so more to that point, when they ask them on the red carpet, they get to relax now. They're not really playing a sport. In a sense, they are. They're trying to beat the best person out in what kind of designer they have on, who pretty much equipped them to be the best looking at that awards event and on the red carpet. And I got to tell you, like you said, Russell Wilson and Ciara, it's very important. That's exactly where the entertainment world collides. You have Russell Wilson, quarterback, Seattle Seahawks. You got Ciara. She's been known in pop. People thought she was going to be the next Janet Jackson in her particular light of how she performed and been an entertainer. They were just on Tom Ford's fall, winter 2008 runway show in New York. I mean, these particular two are just sparkling and dazzling all around the world.
He's a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And I'm sure there are people listening to this podcast right now who would agree with me that he has no business on a runway. He should be studying his playbook. I don't get it. But what am I missing?
Well, you're missing a lot, actually. If you really want me to run down, literally and physically, not that he was just on a runway with Ciara, that he was at Justin Timberlake's Men of the Woods listening session. Okay, let's keep going down the list of all the great things that he did. Super Bowl week, yeah, he wasn't in the Super Bowl, but he was at the Super Bowl, and he was chilling with Snoop Dogg, okay? Let's go back to, you know, the sports and entertainment realm, right? Try to do something that this show has never done before and allow me to insert my journalistic approach of allow you to listen to his alter ego, if you will. Let me try that out. Would you allow me to?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, let's see what Russell Wilson, or excuse me, Mr. Unlimited, has to say when people ask him questions.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. I'm real exciting, you know, I'm real exciting. But anyway, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So I ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. So I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings your motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person. Think that person. Love you, Pete. Unlimited. Tell me.
Okay. I think I get it now. And you know, it's funny because if you ever see him, whether it's on the field or off, this guy is happy as I don't know what. I mean, he's unlimited, right? I think I get it. But not only Russell Wilson, but, you know, all of the folks that were there that night. Even Terrell Owens kind of got in a couple jabs and a couple zingers and this and that. I mean, I got to tell you, maybe I am starting to get it now. I know this much. And I'm going to ask you a second who your favorite coach is in the NFL, right? So you think about that while I make this statement. I know this much. When I first started coaching, I really wasn't having fun, and I was losing. And then I started doing stuff. Like we would have little skits on Friday nights before the games, and, you know, I would do these things where I would take a Red Bull and crack it over my head and drink it like Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you kind of playing a character, a character that actually made it more fun. And then I started laughing a little bit more, and I started winning. So, you know, maybe that's what I get. But I want to ask you this. Who is your favorite coach in the NFL? I'm going to show you something. Who's your favorite coach?
Oh, this is a tough one. Right now, he's not in the NFL. I mean, I love Tom Coughlin. I love what he did for us and the New York Giants.
Stop right there.
Super Bowl.
That's exactly what I wanted. I knew it. Tom Coughlin, right? And so what's funny is he is known for being a disciplinarian, strict, never smiles. They got to wear suit and tie on the airplane. But in the last Super Bowl, that the Giants won, he changed a little bit, and he lightened up on the dress code, and he lightened up in practice. And that took him to not only a Super Bowl, but to the front office, where they say he's the lightest guy at Jacksonville in the front office. So I think you may be onto something, because I know Tom Coughlin, he's in a couple videos and this and that. I think you may be onto something. You may have done it and got me to see that, yeah, you know, this entertainment thing and sports can coexist. I like it. I absolutely like it.
Let me just give you a little bit more rundown of all the particular poignant ones that stood out for best athletes. So here in the district, we have a bunch of people that were nominated. You know, Jose Altuve for the Houston Astros. They just came off of winning a World Series. You got James Harden. He just won MVP of the regular season with the Houston Rockets. And then you have Tom Brady. I mean, he lost in the Super Bowl, but he's Tom Brady. He's never aging. But Alex Ovechkin wins. And he seems to have brought home another one later on with the NHL's favorite player. So that just shows that it transcends. It shows that you bring a guy from another country, you bring him in, and you groom him, you stick with him, that kind of wholesome grassroots growing, and maybe it can brew you up something like a Stanley Cup. You got the Olympics, Winter Games.
Hold on. Let's go over those names again, because if you look at Ovechkin, I don't know if Ovechkin wins that if he doesn't take the cup down to Georgetown and swim at a restaurant in a water fountain. I don't know if Tom Brady's nominated if he's not with Giselle and they're posing. You see what I mean? So I kind of see where they collide a little bit. Even in that, look at Harden. He gets a nickname, the beard. Right? That's entertaining.
Exactly.
Right? So
exactly.
I think you're on to something. Okay, give me another award.
Just to go along with that point a little bit more, it's just very important to have a storyline so that the fans can get to know the players. And I think that's, in a sense, what female basketball is missing, in the sense that people don't get to know them as much. But let me get to the Olympics, the Winter Games. So we have a female athlete who won the best female athlete, and that is in Chloe Kim. Okay, Chloe Kim was fearsome on the board. She was able to do things that's never been done before. She not only took home that, but she took home the best action sport for female athlete, and that's pretty big. She's pretty young, and she's got a whole bunch more to come in the years that the Olympic moments can bring. So those are pretty awesome. And then back to female athletes, you've seen a lot of different camera shots on Candace Parker. That's the women's basketball player over in L.A., right? She's in her home city. She's married to a former Boston Celtics player. I can't remember his name. She's actually hiding his stardom, but that's neither here nor there. But Maya Moore wins. Maya Moore wears Jordan. So you look good, you feel good, you're with a good brand, and that can just soar your star even further. And then even going along with the women's theme, and again, first female comedian, if she wanted to call herself that at that night, but that was actually Danica Patrick, former NASCAR race car driver, first female to really do something substantial in that end. But she was able to go ahead and talk about just what this year meant. Again, it was momentous. It was monumental. It was a heavy weight of a year for the SB to be broadcasting, and that's why I believe they put her on the forefront as first female. And they did little stints where they had game show host or some kind of guy who had the whole old boys way of things. And it kind of brought laughter, like a fun-filled, like you said, a family affair, but it also took on the target of things that were seething. Within sports, you have parents that will push their kids to the limits because they want to live vicariously through them. And in a sense, it can be detrimental where not only physically, but in a realm that they put themselves in places where people aren't having the best particular interest for them, and that being with the NASCAR case, the particular Michigan State wrestling, I think he's a massage
instructor.
So that was one of those particular moments that night was able to highlight something that meant so much and was going on for years, and it was just so big for Allie Reisman to go ahead and stand up. I knew a lot of people came forward. She made that point specifically with each year that it was known, all the way back to 1997. And that was very big, I believe, for ESPN, for the ESPYs to give them that moment in sports, to give them the survivors, those people, the ability, those women, the opportunity to speak out, to let it be known that this is big and people need to know about it. Things like that just show how sports transcends not just the game on the field, on the court, wherever it may be played or done, that it affects you in every day, shape, or form.
Well, you've heard a couple bombshells on this show, and that's why I cannot miss an episode of the Extra Points Radio Show. And shout out to all our folks, Kingsman, Stan, all the folks that listen you've heard some bombshells here. One, you heard that there are a couple guys that are not going to make it through the NFL season. You've heard that. You've also heard that there's a couple guys that need to grow up in the clubhouse at Nats Park. But what you witnessed with your own eyes is a transformation from someone who really didn't get sports and entertainment colliding. And that leads me to my two-minute warning, and that's it. It's one of my favorite quotes. Minds are like parachutes. They only work when they're open. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. Minds are like parachutes. They only work when they are open. I was open to, you know, I know with Joyce. Joyce came to me with this. And she was like, yeah, you know, I got to do something around the ESPY. I forgot about the ESPY, to be honest with you. I watched it. I just didn't get it. But I was like, you know what? Let's talk about it. And I just think if we did more of that in our country, if we actually listened to one another with our minds open, great things can happen. If our minds are closed from the beginning, which is what we do now a lot of times, you know what happens when you fall out of an airplane? Exactly. So, hey, I just think great job on that. But speaking of great job, prediction, not so great last week. Finished 2-3, but got to 50 correct predictions. So 50 and 42, 8 games above 500, or 8 bets above 500, still gets it to base. Here we go with some good ones now. Next, they got Scherzer on the mound today. I got a feeling he's going to have a lot of adrenaline pumped in him. I think they beat the Braves. What say you?
I'm with Scherzer. He's not playing any games. He let that Strasburg know. Watch me. That's what he's going to do today.
Let me ask you. Let me just stay on the net for 1 second. Do you think, I mean, I know you follow them and that. Do you think that they can catch up and make a playoff berth? Or do you, like me, think they're done?
No, I think they're done.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And so are the Mets. 13.5 games behind. Okay, let's move to the Mystics, who you just mentioned. The Mystics, I got them beating the New York Liberty. Little WNBA action there. What say you?
I got the Mystics as well. I'm going to go against my home team and my born and raised. I love the Liberty. I think Ella Deladon, she's going to carry this team. She's a little bit more healthy than she's been before. And it's about time, so go Mystics.
It is about time. It is. I like that. It's about time. That's good. You're right. And then finally, now, I got to say I'm probably cheating on this one right here. But to just show everyone for transparency, these shows are produced in advance. The bet was, the prediction was, Tiger will not finish in the top 10 at the British Open. What say you?
I got Tiger roaring. He is really showing on the par as every time he's coming around today. Down he's, last time I checked, and that's probably been before the show or probably sometimes intermittently, -4. I mean, Jordan Spieth, he was the golf player of the year for the SP. He's -5 at that time I was watching. So not sure where he's at now, but I believe that he might show people that, yeah, this is what he likes, the links, and he can go ahead and do some things. Real quick with the Fit with Joy tidbit, I like to say that the fitness of life, that's what sports does. It transcends. It allows you to be able to be mentally tough. That's what Tiger needs. It allows the triumph and the tribute to Jimmy V with Jim Kelly, and it allows the Stoneman Douglas to be able to overcome all the tragedy that they've experienced. That's what fitness does with track, with all the different sports, baseball, anyone you particularly want. You challenge yourself and you compete.
Hey, Tiger is tied for second, -5, and the extra point is up.
And it is triumphantly good.
Thank you.
long way to right center. And it is gone. Off the face of Jones, Cousins takes it in for a Redskins touchdown. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Reed